stupid songs. So come and sing along. Yeah, it's the Noise Hole with Dave and Joel.
Hey, welcome to the Noise Hole with Dave and Joel. I'm gonna just instantly jump in and cease all confusion. There will be no confusion as to who is who. I'm Joel.
I'm Div.
You are hulking out.
I was so confused. I was so fucking...
Was that your brain?
That was me just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
There's
nothing.
What is anything?
You know, you walk into the pantry and nothing's labeled and you're just like, where's the flour? Where's the cookie dough? And in this instance, it was just like that, but I wasn't labeled Dave and you weren't Joel until
you said
that.
What are you making that requires flour and cookie dough?
Cookie bread. Cookie cake. Yeah.
I was making mom's famous cookie bread.
You could do that, right? You could take cookies and just throw them in a bunch of mix and then already made cookies, might I add. What about that?
Oh, like a thing of Oreos?
Yeah, exactly.
You can throw them in. And make a bread out of it?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
When I was about
14. When I was about 14.
Me and a buddy made some cookies. We took an entire roll of cookie dough and put it on a pan, untouched, unflattened, in the oven, thinking it would make an awesome cookie log.
Cookie log. What, like a Yuletide and log?
We wanted a Chips Ahoy Yule log.
That sounds incredible, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's not what we got.
What happened?
What we got was a fucking mess.
Was it just a big pile of chocolatey diarrhea, or what was it?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Some burnt on the edges and diarrhea everywhere else.
Was it at least solid? At least you can kind of go, oh, it's cooked, if you could knock on it. You know what I mean?
I think the ingredients were cooked, but we ate it with spoons. We did eat it, though. I should point that out.
And your boy had a tender moment together. You made some cookies like an old couple, and then you ate it with spoons. Did you put some in each other's mouths?
Yeah. I put it in my mouth, and then I fed it to him like a bird.
That's how you spread the virus, I think.
Yeah. No, I was. Actually, this was the before times. This was 20... years? 23 years ago.
Joel, 20 years. Is that somewhere between 2000 and 2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
20 years.
I guess 2000 would be 20 years. Yeah. Let's start explaining dates like that. 2019 years ago. So 2001.
This is a really good time to clarify date and time because I have no perception of any of it.
Right.
Like,
it's all the void.
Even before the quarantine, the days were years.
Right.
And I've aged 100 years in the last 3.5 years.
And somehow it's slowed down further, where every day is a smorgasbord of evil activity across the globe. It's madness.
But you have to couple that, or you have to sort of blanket that in the concept that we are all untethered from the world.
I think the truth...
We just stay home and look at the same walls.
Yeah, and that's kind of the true lesson, is go back to your sanctity. Go back to... Stay somewhere that makes you happy. Go to your happy place, because there's a whole lot of fire and brimstone going on outside. Also, don't go outside. It is medically not recommended. So
don't you dare.
Personally...
Noise boys, stay inside. S the FH. Stay the fuck home.
Depending on what time of year it is for you, I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Look, you could be in Australia. It could be fucking summer right now. So you might not want to do this, but maybe fucking set up a log fire. Put your feet in the fire.
Right. Hold your feet to the fire. Put your feet in the fire.
Make some cookie dough cake mix and fucking, I don't know, put Elvis
Noise
on
boys,
the record
make
player.
Yourself a cookie dough cake. Come on, treat yourself. It's the end times. Eat whatever you want. That's also a thing that's happening right now. And it sucks because every day we are going, wow, sure feel bad about generally all of it. I guess I should eat cookie
that happened,
and cake.
That happened to me for a couple of weeks, and it's still kind of ongoing, where I put on a little weight, and I'm like, oh, no. Well, I blame my mother, who has a habit of sending me over delicious confectionery from Ireland. And so,
she opens a plastic bag and goes and yeah, seals it up.
Yeah.
I said, you smell my breath.
Vacuums. You could probably buy her breath on OnlyFans or eBay.
That's right. Yeah.
Buy her smelly socks.
She farted in bathwater, jarred it up, and then sent it to you.
Oh, Granny Micklefatrick's bathwater.
Oh, look what you've got, Dave. It's a bag of me breath and a jar of me farts.
Oh, thanks, Mum.
Yeah, cheers. Now I can waft it about the house and feel like I'm at home. Yeah. It's like incense, I suppose.
It's probably got a wick in it, and then you could just burn the fart like a gas candle.
That is disgusting. Smell
like me bum. That is like Mum's bum.
Do you put it in your own bum?
No.
Oh,
no, gross.
Do you want your bum to smell like your Mum's bum? Well.
Oh, then you got to buy Mum's bum candles.
Try Mummy Micklefatrick's bum candles, yeah.
Bummy Micklefatrick.
Bummy McBum bum bummy candles. This is a music podcast.
This is a rock and roll podcast about music.
If this is your first episode, well,
sorry.
If you liked what you've heard so far, prepare for a marked change towards something completely different. So
now, Noise Boys, we got to warn you. We did actually try to bring back a bit of music and found out that the software that we are using to communicate is gating out our guitars so we can't hear each other play. So not only can we not play together in unison, in chorus, with harmony, we can't currently play at all.
It will be...
See?
I don't think we could ever do that, Joel.
It's frustrating.
But we will get through this. We will make something of this meal. We will make cake out of this cookie dough.
Oh, we will turn this log of cookie diarrhea into a beautiful cake.
Let me tell you, Joel, as of right now, at this moment in time, in the Noise Boy Sanctuary, where all Noise Boys are safe from the virus and right? safe from the ongoing ills of the world, we are engaging with the Noise Boys and asking them questions on the spot right now at this very That's moment true. When... as this recording is happening.
That can't be disputed.
So, let's go through some Noise Boy questions with the boys. Make sure they're...
When there was a Noise Boy!
let's take a look. Do you want to take a stab at this one? Red Wing Leader, Jacob November. Hey, buddy. He asks, my job at Disney World is closed until further notice. If you had that kind of time, what rides are you rebuilding or destroying? Now, I gotta say, I've never been to Disney World, so I don't know.
So, and I just came back.
And you're obsessed. You're one of those guys that wears Mickey Mouse ears on the weekend.
No. But I did enjoy myself, despite how horrible it all was.
Was it a bad time?
Disney, if you do it right, and if you are not filthy fucking rich... you really have to squeeze in about 5 days of living into every 24-hour period, or you don't really get your money's worth.
Right.
And so the amount of planning beforehand and the amount of pushing yourself once you get there inevitably leads to a feeling of extreme highs coupled with extreme lows.
I think it's coupled with this desire to go on rides that have hour-long lines, something that I don't care enough about any ride to stand in a line for that long. I really don't.
Well, so to counter that, my wife, she nice, did 6 months of planning and planned our days like almost down to the hour, and we didn't stand in a single line.
Do you feel, you didn't stand in a single line?
No, because you get... 2 fast passes a day, and then after you use them, you get more.
Right.
And so we pretty much just planned everything to a T and really never stood in a single line. I mean, that is a nightmare. Standing in a 45-minute line for a 3-minute ride will make you pretty fucking miserable.
I'd say it would. And I gotta say, I'm not really a big fan of planned vacations. If I want to take a vacation, I want to go somewhere and I want to explore at my own pace. I just kind of
Disney mosey World around. Does not allow for
does
that.
Not allow
Disney
for that
Land,
at all.
Disneyland might,
right?
A bit more. You'll be in some 30-minute lines, maybe more. But Disney World is simply too dense for you to go, I'll wing it.
Right.
Because it's $1,000 a day.
It's dummy thick with people.
It really is. The whole park is a thought.
It's dummy thick with people, and it's thick with dummy people. So
yes. Oh, it couldn't be anywhere else but Florida, which is to say, yes, there are people from all over the world, but then also a high density of Floridians, and you can feel it. You can smell it everywhere. Speaking of Red Wing November, he was there when I was there. He's a pyro guy. One of our noise boys does amazing pyrotechnic work on what is, without a doubt, the greatest fireworks multimedia display I've ever seen in my life. The Magic Kingdom nightly, every single night they put on what is probably $100,000 fireworks show.
Right.
It's unreal. The sky
that just becomes
it
a
looks like Fallujah. That becomes the sky is exploding.
That becomes a military expense at that point. That's where the industrial complex comes in. You know, it's like you fucking.
I think it is. Like fucking, I think Halliburton makes their Mickey suits at this point. If they were all bomb disposal Mickey suits.
If they were smart, they would have Tony Stark come out every night and go whoosh.
Actually,
raise his hands up.
They're pretty close to that. They're opening an Avengers Park in California.
Oh, so. Well, there you go. An Avengers Park. What would that involve? Come to Captain America's hot dog stand?
It is
going to
be the Avengers. God, you're so close.
Oh, burgers.
The food is actually Ant-Man themed. All the food is either very big or very small.
Oh, that's a great idea, actually.
It's actually really good. So they're like, oh, you walk in the hallway and they go, prepare to be shrunk. And then you get shrunk. And then when you get inside, it's a giant fucking pretzel. And you go, oh, I'm tiny.
And then you
give me a big pretzel.
And then you walk through Thanos' internals. You climb up his Thanos anus. And you make your way up his intestines and eventually come out of his mouth where he is spitting a loogie into Captain America's face.
Actually, his molars are booths and you just sit in there and have your meal.
How big is he?
Oh, it's enormous. You can see it from space.
Yeah, I was about to say, that would be like the tallest building in LA. A giant Thanos.
So he was there. We were talking on Discord.
Thanos?
Thanos. No, Red Wing leader Jacob November was there from our Noise Boy Discord and talking about the amazing fireworks show that he was working on. And then, ironically, after planning this massive vacation for months and months and months, we were like the last group to get in and get out before they shut it down. And they've only shut it down like four times in ever.
Right.
And it's I think this is the longest.
Well,
the last time they shut it down was 9/11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually, they shut it down when I was there one other time for my honeymoon because of a hurricane. But that was only for a couple of days.
Okay.
9/11, they assumed they said, nah. Here we are to board a Disney World in Florida. We talk like alligator people. The Taliban, they're going to bomb America's biggest institution, like the Pentagon and the Trade Towers and the White House and probably Disney World.
It made me laugh.
And
so
they shut it down.
It made me laugh that so many schools closed on 9/11. Like, oh no, they're going to attack every school in the nation.
I guess no one really had any idea, we got in and got out and had our whole trip, and then we got home and thought, this is escalating, the virus is getting worse, I'm so glad this was this week and not next week, and then they closed it, and I thought, had they canceled the vacation that we'd been looking forward to for half a year, I think we would be so depressed right now that we would not get through the pandemic very well.
What would you do? Like, would you go outside and put yourself at risk going, I don't care. Come get me, plague.
Yeah, I would go suck the air out of strangers' lungs.
I mean, that's what the virus is doing right now. I mean, you're just contributing. Right.
I would become the plague.
Yeah.
I would sign up. Where do I sign up? It'd be like an American Taliban.
Right. I would become the plague. What a choice quote. That's a very villainous thing to say.
I will become the very plague that is killing us all.
I will. become the plague.
All right. But Jacob wants to know what we would do with a closed Disney World.
Oh, Christ, have we not answered this fucking question yet?
You've been talking. No, I just talked about my vacation.
Yeah, let's fucking answer this quickly because we got a ton more questions.
You're not a Disney fan, but what would you do with a closed theme park and, let's say, unlimited budget? Like, would you fucking say, turn it all on so I can go ride it all myself?
Maybe. Can I tell you something? I don't give a shit about theme parks. I really don't.
I know that's not true.
What do you mean? Why?
Because
I went to Harry Potter World and went, oh.
I was with you at Wizarding World when you were going, oh, bloody hell, Larry.
Oh. Yeah, that was a fine time. But I'm not sitting.
Well, it's that. It's like that.
I'm not sitting thinking about it every day going, fuck, I can't wait to get to the next theme park. I just don't have the enthusiasm for it. Okay, let me think. Let me fucking think. What's going on?
Let me twist it. Do you want me to twist it?
Oh.
What band? So there is an Aerosmith ride Disney World.
Is this how you're trying to appeal to me?
And so I'm going to say, what band would you rather ride a roller coaster of?
I mean, it's going to be Metallica. You've seen their giant stage shows, right?
Like how fucking crazy it is.
Can you imagine the pyrotechnics and the lights and all the fucking different areas of Metallica?
It would burn all the flesh off your arm.
And then there's a giant cliff going, boom, 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 anesthesia, pulling teeth right in your fucking face. He bears down on you like one of those dragons in the Harry Potter ride.
Cliff would be in the Haunted Mansion.
Damn, going,
I'm the ghost of Cliff. I am. I died in a bus when the ice was black.
That's two facts about Cliff Burton that I definitely know.
I play the bass with a fuzz pedal and I play it fast and I am.
I like the idea of it being themed because you remember that Harry Potter ride? You were like going around Gringotts in the underground, and you know Harry shows up and he goes, "Quick, go that way." The ceiling's collapsing. I feel like Cliff would be standing outside the plant studio as they're recording Saint Anger, and he's like, "Quick, go over there! Quick, move on to the next era, back to their when they go back to their roots in 2008's Death Magnetic."
That's when the ride starts going backwards. You get to Saint Anger, the whole thing blows up, and then Cliff goes, "Boys, it's me."
The roller coaster
starts.
The roller coaster starts shaking. You know that there's some trouble afoot. You know. It's trying to scare you.
Oh, actually, the coaster is a bus, and the coaster hits the black ice. Oh. And it flies off the rails, and it uses holograms to make you think that you've skidded out of control
and
rolled down a mountain.
And then it plays Trapped Under Ice by Metallica. I would come out of that ride going, that was cool as fuck, but also, how fucking rich are these dudes? You know? I can't imagine any other band doing that, apart from... an Aerosmith! Ride probably sucks, right?
Yeah, probably. I've actually never ridden it on principle alone.
Really? You just went,
I go, Aerosmith has a ride?
Come
gross.
On, baby. Don't you want to get onto my ride and check out the roller coaster or the slides on time?
The true reason I don't ride it is because it has a loop. And I have a vertigo condition, and so I think the loop would ruin my day.
Do you find that severely limits your opportunities to go on roller coasters? A single loop, and you're going, oh, no, not for me.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't go to Six Flags. Oh. And my family enjoys Six Flags, and so they actually go without me because I just can't do it.
Kind of sucks anyway.
I mean, if you like roller coasters, it's just roller coasters nonstop.
I guess
but
you're right. I'm being too cynical, aren't I?
Come on, man. Let someone have some joy.
Okay. I hate joy.
Stop
having joy. Go take a shit. That's the first we've talked to him today.
Oh, I do want to get back to the Metallica roller coaster, but we should mention there's a little bit different setup. It's a little bit different because Gary got out of quarantine.
What?
He broke quarantine.
Gary, you know you can't go outside! You'll kill people! What the fuck? What do you mean
broke quarantine, and he ran all the way to my house. So
he needed Noise Boy Daddy.
I've got him in my guest bath, and I don't even know how he found it. I live 30 minutes from you.
Right.
He had to run.
No, he's like a carrier pigeon, man. Like
residential streets, up a tollway. He had to know what exit to get off on. I imagine him Naruto running.
Can you imagine driving home and you see this gnarled fucking freak booking it up the road?
His eyes waving in the wind behind him?
Yep. His ocular stalks flapping. His
God.
Hideous webbed fucking fingers and toes slapping on the ground.
Yeah, he ran through my wall like Lemmy's ear. And I instantly put him in the garage or the guest bath. I can't remember. He's somewhere quarantined.
How did you do it? Did you like beat him or did you give him egg?
So for the quarantine, we boiled a bunch of egg.
Right.
And so I put a trail of egg leading. Actually, it is the guest bath.
Did you watch him
pick? The guest bath stinks.
Did you watch him pick each one up one at a time and go?
Yeah, it's a lot like that. It was like Birdo in reverse. So I've got him in there. I ran a couple of mics in there, but then again, I caulked the door shut. He should not be able to get out. And he's got a toilet. There's running water. I don't know what else
he
could do.
It sounds nicer than a noise hole for him, honestly.
It can't last. I have to figure out how to get him back in the noise hole. I can't have this interloping homunculus at my house.
He is all of those things.
Plus, what's going to happen to my food?
I mean, he can't get to your fridge, right?
I can't keep him in egg. You know how many trips I'd have to make? I can't go outside.
Oh, that's true. You're going to have to find some sort of egg dealer.
Make your egg last, Gary!
So is he going to have to nibble at egg?
Yeah, I think he should take little tiny bites at egg.
Oh, God. The plague. The disease.
It's got you.
I always feel good when I sneeze because they tell me specifically sneezing is not a symptom. But then I'm like, but I sneeze anyway. So
relevant? Do you feel good on everything you do that isn't? They're like, playing Doom Eternal isn't a symptom of the coronavirus.
Exactly.
And so you're going, I'm doing good.
I'm just fine. I'm doing pretty good. The last week I've felt like absolute shit, and I don't know why. And then I just started taking a bunch of Zyrtec daily, and it's kind of gone away.
I don't know if it's worldwide or nationwide or what, but Texas right now is inundated with allergens.
Oh, God.
And so everyone who is susceptible spends every day going coronavirus or hay fever.
Yeah.
Not sure.
If you walk around with your eyes open outside right now, your eyes will gather moss. It's horrible.
No, I don't recommend it. I walk around outside with your eyes closed, please.
Yeah, especially everyone. Like if you're going outside, maybe to get egg, put on a nice pair of sunglasses. Egg run.
If you're on egg run, you better suit up.
Yeah, suit up and boot up, boy. All right,
you should wear that Doom helmet to go get egg.
I have worn the Doom helmet out. It's pretty amazing.
Where'd you wear it?
Kroger.
If you didn't take pictures, it didn't happen. I need to see
that's
that.
That's fine. I did not. Because
he lied to me!
I didn't lie at all. I just didn't take... I should have taken photos. Why didn't I even do that? I'll do it again. I will do it again.
Just to wrap up the question, I really like the idea of a dispassionate Hetfield appearing on a hologram and going, hey, brother, run this way. The track broke.
Oh my God, why? Why, James?
Hey, the metal monster's coming.
What's that? because he's doing a half-assed job of acting.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't care. He's getting, you know, $1 million to go, hope you guys had a metal time on my metal coaster. Metallic coaster.
Get on our steed, ride the four horsemen.
Oh, it'd be called Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, it'd be called Ride the Lightning.
Hey, motherfucker, you better ride that lightning, motherfucker.
That sounds like a real thing, dude. Like, I'm going to Metallica ride. Metallica
roller coaster, ride the lightning.
Ride roller coaster. Metallica roller coaster. There is a video here. It says the Metallica Ride the Lightning roller coaster. From 2008. Let's see what the fuck this is.
Where is it in America?
I don't think it's... it's some guy made it in fucking Roller Coaster Tycoon or something.
There's, and Metallica sued him.
You know what's really funny about it is that there is nothing at all that relates to Metallica on it. It's just a normal ass roller coaster with no imagery or symbolism on it. It's just a roller coaster.
As is their purview, he got a cease and desist that said, "Hey, motherfucker, I know you've been making us a roller coaster tycoon.
Now we just
owe us royalties, that, bitch.
That's right, motherfucker. We're just protecting our property. Should we dare venture into the roller coaster industry at some point in the future?
Yeah.
We're just protecting
our industry. I was going to make a roller coaster in my backyard. And now I can't do it.
I guarantee they have a roller coaster in their backyard, one of them. Two people have made Metallica rides in shitty roller coaster video games.
I think you should do Metallica Sims, and they just don't talk to each other and don't get anything done.
Yeah, they have Phil Toggle to go to each room and kind of...
So...
I like this. I like that this guy's chosen S&M as the soundtrack to his roller coaster.
That's not the coaster music I would want.
Right.
I would want classic 80s thrash.
I think Damage Incorporated would be a really good song for that.
Damage Inc.
Damage Inc.
I do think there should be pyro that blows into your car and melts your arm skin off.
Your own car?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Into your coaster car.
Oh, right.
As you get to the top and you go, oh, just about to fall, a cardboard James goes, boing, pops up and goes, hey, eat fire!
And he goes on fire. That's why he's cardboard, because he goes on fire.
And then he's a skeleton, and he dances for you with a top hat.
Why does any of that happen at the end?
Because now you're back in the haunted mansion.
Why is he in some fucking 1935 animated cartoon?
I am the ghost of James Hetfield. I am coming to kill you. It would be that kind of bouncy, jangly 1930s animation.
Yeah, that really pose-to-pose kind of like early animation.
Okay. There's also a cow. There's like a dancing cow.
Do you think he can laugh about that the time that he went on fire? But it's like, hey, yeah, brother.
When they think about their deceased band members, they probably have a little shrine for Cliff and a little shrine for James's original arms.
What do you mean? What are his arms now?
They're all skin grafts.
What?
That one arm is 100% skin grafts.
I can't tell if you're being for reals or not.
That's true. That's 100% true.
You're lying.
I'm not. Have you ever noticed why one side of his face doesn't grow facial hair the same way?
For some, I thought those were acne scars.
Nah, man, that is, I was burned nearly to death scars.
I think it adds to like his sense of masculinity, which is kind of the appeal of Metallica in general, where it's like, whoa, you know, like tough guy music, right?
There's actually something I've always wondered about his arm, which was how tattooed was it before?
It wasn't.
Because it's tattooed now.
Yeah.
I wondered if he did that to cover up scars.
He only really started tattooing getting tattoos around the late 90s. So, I mean, he gave it a while after that incident.
I mean, it was really bad. The idea that Headers can function and play guitar is a miracle of science and human will. According to him, he could see bone. So
him and Dave should not be alive right now. Dave Mustaine.
Oh, for different reasons.
Dave Mustaine. Yeah, sure. Do you remember another arm problem? Do you remember Dave?
Dave Mustaine.
That sounded like Lemmy singing. Dave Mustaine.
Don't say his name.
Dave Mustaine. Oh, sorry. Shit. Sorry.
Okay. Check the walls.
Whoops.
No ears.
Right,
okay. Good.
Quiet.
What Look was I saying? Ears. Oh, Dave Mustaine, famously in around 2001, 2002, maybe, fell asleep on his arm, and it died. His fucking arm just died.
I've heard you mention this a few times as if it's common knowledge, and I don't bother looking it up because it just sounds right. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, one of the greatest guitarists on earth, passed out, whether he was drunk or on the skeezy stuff, the skank,
the skag,
the old green skag, yeah, the old needle juice. Anyway.
Oh, that's what they... What else do they call heroin?
Needle juice, needle juice, needle juice.
That's a contender for a title of this episode.
And he woke up and his arm was dead. He'd pinched a nerve to the point where he just couldn't fucking move his arm anymore. And doctors said, hey, you know that thing you do with your arm where you move it really fast in order to play guitar as one of the fastest guitarists on earth? Well, no more, pal. You can't do that
you're
at all.
Done.
And Dave went,
we're going to call you Davey Deadarm.
Okay, I guess I can't do Megadeth anymore. And so he went, no, wait, fuck it. I don't need to listen to doctors. And he fucking trained his arm back up. Had to relearn how to play guitar from scratch. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine?
Well, he still had the one good hand. Was it his strummy hand or his finger hand?
I'm not sure. But I can't.
If it was strummy hand, I think that's easier.
I honestly couldn't say. All I know is that imagine being given an arm and you've inputted all this muscle memory into it. I guess that's kind of how it works. It's a 50-50 between brain and arm. It's like they're both looking at each other and going, you and me, we got this. We got this. Thanks to the magic
it's
of
like if
muscle
you
memory.
Work a long time on a project on a computer and then you forgot to save and the power goes out. And you go, no!
Exactly. Exactly like that. You've lost 30 years of work because you didn't save it.
I haven't saved my arm progress in 30 years.
Because you didn't save it. No! All, like a dumbass. Control S. And so Dave had to learn to play guitar with his fucking arm all over again. And he did it. Not only did he come back to learn to play guitar competently, he rose back up to be one of the greatest guitarists on earth.
He grew a
what
new arm.
What a story.
And then he almost died of throat cancer just recently.
Just recently. There was a whole bunch of other weird shit in the 80s where he was basically drunk or high or had some sort of severe addiction going on the whole time. He has been through a lot. That boy.
I've been through a lot.
He's put himself through
That's
a lot.
That's the kind of thing he would say if I asked him if he's been through a lot. And so, between him and Headers, God, can you imagine being the guy that's like, fuck, hey, devil, I want to make a bet with you. I want to be one of the greatest guitarists on earth. I want
yes,
that.
Yes, tell me what you desire.
On my right, I want the chugging arm of James Hetfield, because no one pinpoint precision. And on the left, I want the complex chord progressions and the dexterity of Dave Mustaine.
Of the course. Fast finger wizard, of course.
Why is he laughing so much?
Your will be done.
My arms.
And then what you get is James Hetfield's bone arm with meat hanging off of it
right.
on one side. And then you get a Dave Mustaine arm asleep and full of heroin on the other side.
Not those the arms you asked for.
And then we slowly zoom out of the cabin where this guy obviously met the devil as he screams in the night. And we learn a lesson about be careful what you wish for. Also, don't wish for the arms of Cliff Burton. That's a good idea. That's a good rule of thumb,
He's
I would
dead.
Say.
Dead.
Yes.
He would give you Cliff's current arms.
Yeah, his bone arms.
Which are dusty
his
bones.
Dusty bones.
Dusty bones, take me home.
What was that Bob Seger song that covered?
Turn the page.
Dusty bones.
Dusty bones.
There I am. Meat and bones again. Here I am,
Dave Mustaine. I remember Dave we did that. All right.
Here I am, under the bus again.
We have got a lot of mileage out of this one fucking question.
Oh, Mileage Cyrus.
Let's do some... What did you just say?
Another question? Huh?
What did you just say? Did you just say Mileage Cyrus? Thank you, Gary. All right.
Let's go to the next question.
Let's do some quick fire. Let's do some quick fire. And then we'll get to... If we get to a really good one, we'll stick on it. That doesn't
Noise
mean
Boy
I'm
Hunter.
Choosing favorites.
Okay. Noise Boy Hunter, who I was chatting with recently because he's in quarantine.
Right.
With some illness, and we wish you all the best. We sent him a little present, and it showed up, and I was so happy that he got it. It was the original Noise Hole logo.
Yeah, he threw it up
video.
On the wall.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. Yeah, I hope you're doing well, Noise Boy 100.
He says, what do you think the top music genre will be 2020 to 2030?
I mean, that's hard to say, because grunge in the 90s, I mean, it was dead by like the late 90s, right? It was
very close to becoming nu metal and also aggro pop. Like, it's not grunge anymore. It's just distorted guitar pop.
You mean like the band we mentioned last week, Trapped, maybe? Well, where would you put them?
It turned into like the 2000s.
It turned into like alternative, just really, didn't it?
You know what? Actually, if you'll remember, the end of the 90s was the pop takeover. It was boy bands, all top to bottom. Boy bands, Aguileras.
Well, they'd never gone away. You know, boy bands were a thing in the early 90s as well.
It was almost like a market correction. Like, it's like the music market went, oh, there's just too much originality and somber sadness.
Boy bands were a huge thing where I came from, particularly Irish boy bands. People fucking loved them. Bands like Boyzone or Take That, and they were big in like the very, yeah, they were called Boyzone.
Oh, boy.
That's the lead singer did that song that was like, "Heard all about her, I didn't know that you love me." You know that one? It was in Notting Hill. Maybe.
No, I never saw that.
No? Okay. Never mind. But what was I saying?
I'm straight.
I really like those movies.
I love Boyzone.
Well, then you're
I
not.
I think Boyzone,
you
we
were
had
not
O-Town.
Straight. You were not straight then. Huh?
We had O-Town.
O-Town. You had Boyzone. You had Boys to Men.
Boys to Men were not a boy band. They were an R&B group.
It's debatable.
That's different.
They did a lot of very soft stuff.
That's different. Their thing was about slow jams to have sex to. And they were also a decade before that.
Kids on the Block.
Now, weirdly, that would have been mid-80s.
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. I was 8 years old when New Kids were huge.
Right.
So that was mid-80s. That was late 80s, like 89.
Oh, God. There was Boyzone. There was East 17. They did
the
a
ones
song
in America. Go ahead.
They had a song, maybe you've heard this, it's like, "Baby, it's time to go away, hey now, no. Hey now, you got to have another day, hey now, hey now."
No,
British and Irish people will know what I'm talking about. Okay, continue. Do you remember a thing called...
The ones I'm talking about, the end of the 90s ones I'm talking about are going to be your NSYNC. They're going to be your Backstreets and your O-Towns and your 98 Degrees.
Right.
And then the female counterpoint to all that, your Destiny's Child and your Aguilera and your Spears. And
so this is the late 90s you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's late. That's 99. It's basically all happening. And so that's me going, wait, what?
So what was
No.
What was pop music in 96 then? Like in the in-between times.
Pop music in 96 was alternative.
It was guitar laden. I remember.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I meant. Like it's pop, it's hard pop.
I remember.
In 96, 97.
I remember going to London on a school trip. And as we're going around in the bus and stuff, the one song that would repeat was, "What if God was one of us?" Just
that
a
was
stranger
a different subgenre.
On a bus.
Was a subgenre basically created by Sarah McLachlan and then pioneered by Alanis Morissette, which was...
Who sang that one?
Angry Lady.
That wasn't either of them, was it?
I know. That her name was.
I wouldn't have said that was an angry song.
But that was the genre. You've got like Michelle Branch and Alanis.
Oh, but
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover.
I'm a fucker. Do you remember Texas?
I'm going to fuck your fucking mother. What?
Texas was this musician. Maybe she was UK based. I don't know.
Never heard her.
Well,
her name was Texas.
Her stage name was Texas. Yeah, that's right.
Did that mean she was a villain?
She had a couple of great songs.
Joan Osborne sang "What If God Was One of Us."
No. There's a different name to it. I would know this.
No, her name's Joan Osborne.
What if God was one of us?
Here in 3, 2.
Joan Osborne.
Joan Osborne. You're right. There you go.
Okay. Did you count me down to see to
to find
until
out
I was
that you
right.
were wrong.
Okay. Yes, I am very wrong. Thank you.
Just a stranger on the bus,
trying to find his way home.
They there was a whole subgenre of attitude lady. Stripped down attitude lady. That was basically
strip,
not Alanis
keep her
clones.
Clothes on. Come on, there's no
Let
need
her
for
keep
that.
Keep her clothes on, please.
Don't strip her, Don.
That was also Lilith Fair time, you know? That was where all that kind of rose up was
yeah. You mentioned Michelle Brench.
A celebration of lady.
Michelle Brench was after that, I think. Michelle Brench came out around the same time as Vanessa Carlton? No.
I'm a bitch. I'm your mom.
Vanessa Carlton. She was the
daddy.
Chick on the piano, right?
I don't remember who that is.
Oh, you fucking. You must.
I remember Nora Jones.
Vanessa Carlton.
She was soulful.
Vanessa Carlton, sorry. Did this the one song.
Of egg?
Did the one song that everyone
what
knows.
What was it called?
It's called.
Is it from Dawson's Creek?
Probably. It's everywhere. What? It was always
What's
everywhere.
That song?
She had one song. It was called A Thousand Miles. I don't want to let you know I. You know it.
I don't.
You don't? What? Gary knows that song. Gary, you know that song, don't you? Oh, you must know that.
And I would walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you.
No. And then on the piano, it's like, it's in your favorite movie.
I know that.
It's in your favorite movie.
I don't
movie.
Know those lyrics.
It's in your favorite movie, Black Chicks.
What's my favorite movie?
White Chicks.
I've never seen that.
You love White Chicks. Stop lying.
Gary likes White Chicks. Stop getting us confused.
No, Gary likes White Chicks. He I don't think he's watched the movie.
No, Gary likes the Wayans brothers.
Gary, do you think
he likes blackface? And so I said, Gary, you can't watch blackface. You can watch whiteface.
Why does he like blackface?
Because he's, you know.
You think Gary's a racist?
I mean, probably. Look at him.
Do you think he's got a bit of a predator side to him? Like, we've never let him too close to a lady before.
And that will not change. I'm not going to be held responsible for what happens when Gary meets a lady. Gary!
Good thing his fingers are webbed, because that makes
Gary,
it heart.
Gary, are you horny?
That makes it heart stop. Why? Gary. What does that mean? What does the tongue
Gary,
mean?
Are you big horny? Are you saving up big dick energy?
Gary, are you a thirst trap right now? Jack off. Do we know that? I haven't seen it.
Haven't we talked about that before? Don't we talk about how...
I don't think
I
so.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
No, well, I put it on my mind.
Gary's area is covered in cum.
Gary's what? Area?
Nothing. I assume his drum throne is covered in cum.
I never see cum the cum because it disappears so quickly.
It's new cum, you
dumb
bitch.
I never
bitch.
See new cum.
Oh, God. Look, Paula Cole is who sings, I don't want to wait for a long to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? But the question was, what's the music of 2020 to 2030?
Yeah,
so we instantly talked about what's the music of 96 to 99.
Well, the reason
for
I brought
20 minutes.
The reason I brought that up is because there's no real way to predict what's going to happen within 10 years. So right now it's like Xanax rep. And
oh, I'm
money,
so out of
money
the loop.
Dog R&B.
I have
I don't
no
know.
Idea what's going on. Whenever I hear like a glimpse of what pop music is right now, I go, oh, fuck, I'm old. I have no idea what this is, who it is, what it's supposed to be.
I would say let's take a look at the 20-year rule, right? Limp Bizkit is liked again by a lot of people. New metal's back.
If new metal makes a huge comeback, I'd be fine.
New metal's kind of... So here's what happens. When something is absolutely huge, like new metal in the early 2000s, it goes away, it becomes crazy uncool, and then it comes back as an aesthetic. You know what I mean? Like, it comes back, but it's not overbearing. It's not a huge part of mainstream culture anymore. And usually that's like 20 years. But it becomes an aesthetic for people to kind of be a little alternative, be a little different, but it's still popular enough where a bunch of people are doing it. For example, synthwave. Like retrowave these days, right? You know, all that 80s synth stuff. It's kind of mixed up with like visions of palm trees and sort of purples and blues and grids of
gradients of pink to purple.
Yeah, like LA vibes, computery retro stuff. Like I said, green grids and stuff like that. Now think about let's think about that in 2001. That wouldn't have existed because everyone was so over like synth music. People just thought it was fucking corny and stupid and laughable and funny. And it was ironic to listen to, but now it's,
you know,
back.
It's funny because it was a technological limitation created an entire genre of music, which was we can't make very realistic piano sounds. And so everything sounds like a Casio keyboard.
Exactly. Yeah. But now the Casio keyboard is treated as a sound of its own, you know, that's equally as legitimate as a more traditional instrument. And so people are making songs that sound like that because they like the sound of a Casio keyboard. And that's fascinating. And I think
the thing that, yeah, I wasn't expecting the re-embracing of what we almost considered absurd.
Right. And I adore it because I was kind of always into that synth music. I always really enjoyed it. And, you know, it wasn't something you really could talk to anyone at school about because they're like, why do you like that? That's weird. But
I mean, are you talking about like Tears for Fears and stuff?
No, not fucking Tears for Fears.
Cause they're great.
Like, what's a good example? Push It to the Limit. Maybe that kind of like,
Dave, that kind of music for dudes to have sex to in a gym.
Walk along the razor's edge. Okay. Unironically, it's a good song. Fucking,
take it to the limit.
Well, what about Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down? Like,
I actually think that's an okay song.
It's a great song.
The thing that the internet did to it was unconscionable.
What do you mean? It became an atrocity?
Yeah, they turned it into a war crime, and it was fine. It was a fine song.
It became the realm of 4chaners and people that wear V for Vendetta masks and stuff like that. Yeah,
I agree.
It's
the kind of, I consider that right up there with the time where people would go, ninjas and bacon and pirates. It's the internet. It's 2007.
Sure.
You're getting Rickrolled.
I totally get
and
that.
I'm like,
I totally get that. But again, we can't let these fascists appropriate common symbolism. The same way
your
the OK
have the songs.
We're not going to let fascists appropriate the OK symbol. Same way we're not going to let them appropriate that fucking song. Conveniently, I forgotten the name.
Wait, do the fascists like Rick Astley?
Rick Astley, yeah, they love him. Well, not fascists, just 4chaners.
No, that's what's the difference?
Yeah, you can make your own comment on that.
I get you.
But let's get back to the meat of the question. Which was, where is it going to be?
Rick Astley. Oh, okay.
Are you writing that, Don?
Yes. I'm making sure I know.
What's the meat? So let's go back. Let's circle back.
I feel like music is in the process of deconstructing where it's at. Let's take, like, I've only heard two or three songs, but my kid likes it. Let's take Billie Eilish. It's as little as you can have it still be a song.
Mm-hmm.
So there's barely a beat, there's definitely no instruments, and the music is almost whispered. It's ASMR music.
I think the difference between the music of our generation and the music of Gen Z and beyond is that our music was fueled by anger and rage and something boiling under you. And the music of this generation,
I think it's being worn out.
Chilling out. You know?
Yeah, well, it's not chilling out. It's almost by necessity. The brain's shutting down to preserve itself.
Like literally a genre called Xanax rap, you know?
There will never be, I mean, this is this is the first generation that has nothing to look forward to. Like, they're calling Gen Z the first generation that was worse off than their parents.
Right.
Because the boomers ruined it for us, and then we didn't fix it, and now Gen Z has...
We couldn't fix it.
No Yeah, we couldn't fix it. It was impossible.
Yeah.
And so they have no prospects. They never think they're going to own a home. They never think they're going to... They think they're going to be working four side hustles until they die.
They joke about suicide all the time. Ha-ha, wish I was dead.
They all have anxiety. They're all on antidepressants. It's a generation of kids left with... too much information and not enough that they can do about it. I think that's it. I think I just figured it out.
But what is the difference? What is the difference between the numbness that they want to feel, you know, like with Xanax? It's all about coping, right? It seems to be all about getting through. And wanting
just
to,
getting through.
I think the difference between that is wanting it. It's kind of wanting to cope, maybe medicinally, compared to like grunge, which was all about being grimy, being illicit, and kind of...
But it was like, I'm confused and upset, and I don't quite know why, but I'm definitely not okay with the way things are. Don't ask me too many follow-up questions. I just know that I'm mad, and I really want everyone to hear about it, and I want my appearance to show how mad I am.
Right,
and
yeah.
These guys are going, I don't have time for all that. I work four jobs and I drive an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to school, which is incredibly expensive. I'm going to be $100,000 in debt by the time this is over.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm ever going to have anything else with any certainty. I'm just trying to carve. And what I was getting at was it's the first generation that knows every day 100 horrible things that happen in the world and in their country. And can't do anything about it.
Right.
And we were still blissfully ignorant. It took the Beastie Boys to let us know that Tibetans were being oppressed.
For real.
But absolutely. We did not have a Tibetan vlogger telling us every day how he's being oppressed. We just had Mike D.
It took punk music to tell us about the ills of the world and the government. And, you know, at face value,
and
still it was
only
still
in
just
vague terms.
Music. Yeah. There was nothing
explicit about it. It was rarely specific.
And so I think to answer this question, music is always moving. It's always moving forward. I was talking to someone recently that showed me some Little Peep, and it was kind of fascinating that there were a lot of sort of clean guitar arpeggios and kind of a lot of that A to F to G, C kind of like, you know, stuff you would have heard in pop punk. Like sure. during the turn of the millennium, 2005, a lot of stuff that would have kind of been classified as sort of emo punk, not the swoopy emo stuff, but kind of like the sort of sweatery stuff, except he's kind of rapping over it melodically, or he's sort of singing about it in a lazy way, as opposed to like I said, it was about rage, but this is more about just kind of feeling hopeless, as you said. And just not really having much in you anymore and expressing that. It's almost like singing with your last breath, as he probably did. But there's a lot of similarities between the music that I listened to as a teenager and something like Lil Peep. And you just got to listen to it and dig a little deeper beyond kind of the differences in score or instrumentation. And there it is. It's right there. It's fascinating. But the point is, music is always moving forward. The strands of it will still run through, but it's always going to turn into something that you'd never thought you'd hear in your life. Sometimes
I'll tell you what my hope is. My only hope is that at some point we circle back around to authentic guitar-based rock and roll.
I suspect.
And I'm not saying a particular genre. I think some people jamming out on guitar, bass, and drums.
Well,
writing their own songs.
Let me
and being honest.
It's all about crews now and guys that collaborate with each other and guys that are.
Yeah, I want that to stop.
Well,
I hate that shit.
I think the stuff that we call traditional is just done. You go back far enough, and when rock and roll was coming into prevalence, you had guys playing the kind of poppy jazz music from the 30s going, what the fuck is this? And so I think we're those guys now, and I think music's done differently, and I think it's our duty to keep an eye on it and kind of talk
about
that.
All I can say is if my kid is buying 90s mom jeans at the store, then at some point grunge is going to try and come back.
Right.
It might not work.
or it might not be what you like. Let's take the things that you described. Band, four piece, playing traditional instruments, writing their own stuff. Guess who that is? That's Greta Van Fleet these days.
Yeah, and that's awful.
So, but again, it goes back to the devil who's going, well, here's everything you wished for.
Oh, you wanted guitar music, did you?
You wanted to sound like your favorite bands from when you were a kid. Oh, it does.
They'll sound exactly like Led Zeppelin.
Uh-huh. So what?
Damn you, devil. Damn you.
So what you wish for is not really, the things we like could be described as a moment in time now. You gotta find, it's called alternative for a reason, right? So you can go find alternative cultures that are still thriving. I, for one, love hardcore punk right now. The sense of community is amazing, and it's constantly pushing itself
devil
forward. I still love a lot of metal. Gojira's really high on my list at the moment. It's all out there,
man. They're French, right?
Yes.
Do they sing in French?
No.
Okay.
But it's all...
Because that I could not accept.
It's all out there, and it's back in your pocket again. You know what I mean? People are talking about...
But you're also talking about three genres of music that are unchanged.
Yes.
That are exactly like they were when they were bigger. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm saying I don't think there's anyone left doing guitar rock.
It's all old bands. No one's...
Right. And I don't want to hear a new Pearl Jam song.
Right. So
I support them in maintaining their livelihood and that their fans are still there for them, but I don't want it.
And look, if Axl Rose,
I want the next Pearl Jam.
But do you want them to sound like Pearl Jam, or
no,
they could sound like something that you were never expecting?
You know who I heard of that I thought was doing the good work? I haven't really gotten into her music, but when I checked it out, a girl called Courtney Barnett.
Right.
Looks like she's 22 years old. She has a Stratocaster and a three-piece band. Mm-hmm. It's like Haim. You know, it's just
there's
kids
a band,
with guitars.
For example. There's a band.
I think that's maybe what I'm talking about.
Okay,
it's kids with guitars.
They're a great example of a band that are very talented. They mix things up in a more conventional way. I mean, you listen to their albums, it sounds a little pop, it sounds a little R&B, even though they perform everything live on stage. So, they're doing things right. They're keeping it contemporary whilst kind of reaching into the past, going back to, like, echoing Fleetwood Mac and stuff like that. You
know? So give me a Haim with a better distortion pedal. And I think that's what I need to feel like the spirit of angry guitar-driven rock is still out there.
Sure.
It might even be something like, do you remember when you first heard Arctic Monkeys and went, oh, teenagers with guitars?
I remember listening again to the Arctic Monkeys and going, oh, every prick I know likes this. I'm not going to like it.
That's besides the point. But it was original songwriting by teenagers with guitars. And I thought, ah, refreshing. And then weirdly, they're bigger now in the UK than they ever were here.
I mean.
And they're still at it.
Well, they're a UK band.
I'm just saying they're considered like top songwriters now.
I wonder if the great tradition of British rock is still ongoing. I don't really keep tabs on what's going on over there, but it might still be a thing. You know, there are a lot of bands that are absolutely huge and on my TV all the time growing up that never really reached here. Bands like Feeder. I don't know what their popularity
never
was like here. Oh, you might have. They did a song that ended up in Gran Turismo. Went
no.
They had another song called Buck Rogers. None of it ringing a bell.
Mm-mm.
They had some good songs, stuff like that.
Let's do a couple more rapid fire questions because we're in an hour now.
Did we answer that appropriately? Do you think?
I think we got there at some point.
Okay, here we go.
Another. Here's another one. This is from Phionix SJ Rosell. Best songs to bring about the end of the world. Have you heard that REM's End of the World as We Know It has gone like number one in the last month?
Oh, you're taking it at face value? Really?
It's at the top of the Billboard right now.
I think a slow motion montage of the world burning. Maybe, I don't know, an asteroid's flying over everything. We can all see it. I think what a wonderful world would be. Both a beautiful
So you want the contrast.
But it's a beautiful contrast. It makes you want sad.
Ashen wasteland of bleached skulls. And then,
no, I didn't say that yet. This is the end of my movie where, like, maybe it's people from all over the world. Some are holding their kids. They're all looking up at the sky as they watch this one asteroid cast itself across the sky.
I was gonna say, as they watch the white blinding light of Judgment Day burn them all to a crisp.
Red roses.
As the skulls of white people melted into goo.
And I think too much.
Wait, this implies that Louis Armstrong caused the end of the world.
No, and just, he's observing
it.
Not bad, Louis.
That's the one you I would choose. It. That's the one that instantly came to my mind. Okay, next song. Animal Crossing or Doom Eternal? Doom Eternal.
Okay, easy. That was from Noise Boy Hunter as well.
Yes.
Let's look for a couple more. How do you think, oh, this is from Jacob November as well. How do you think WrestleMania will play out with no audience?
Oh, it's going to be hilarious. Have you watched any bands that are performing to no audience on the internet yet? They're just kind of performing
no.
on cameras. It's kind
at
of
like stadiums or at like home?
No, at like, well, yeah, I watched the Cro-Mags perform. I think I talked about this last week.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've been watching Ben Gibbard every night.
Right. So. Oh, also Jimmy Eat World are performing at like 2 p.m. every day in like a local coffee shop to raise money
what?
For them. They're doing deep cuts. I didn't get to watch it today, but I think it's like...
Is it being televised?
It's like 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So that would be...
How can you learn that and not text me?
I just saw it on Twitter.
Did you know, Gary?
It was just today. So you've got plenty more to catch up on. They said they were doing deep cuts.
World, that's fine.
Which is incidentally the name of the sandwich place that they're trying to keep up.
Come on down to Jimmy's Deep Cut. Get you a cut of pastrami. Get you a cut of provolone cheese.
From one Jimmy to another.
Come on, it's Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's Eat World.
All right, like... It's like three people asking the same fucking questions. Sorry, Red Wing Leader. Over. We're going to...
Anyway, so you were talking about what WrestleMania would be like with no audience. I think that a sport performance as heavily reliant on audience screams and woos and ohs
for
would
excitement.
Be like doing...
For
it'd me, be like stand-up with no audience.
For me to stand up at home and rip my shirt off and go, yes! I need a capacity crowd to be in the audience.
Brother!
I think it's going to be fascinating. I really do. I wonder if they can. How would you incorporate the internet into that then? Would they have the wrestlers reading comments in the middle of
There's
the ring?
Gonna be. You think they're on Twitter going.
Dickfuck45. Yeah. I hated it when you called me the N word.
At BonerHitler420 says, ooh. Hashtag got him.
Hashtag
suplex.
Yeah. Suplex city. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer this. It's going to be exactly as you imagine it. It's going to be a lot of sweaty boys
odd.
Wrestling to no one. Like
intensely odd.
It'll be a real case of does a tree make a noise when it falls in the woods? We're about to find out because no one's going to be
there. Does a tree-sized man make a noise when he gets the double super slam in the ring, brother? When he puts the stinky elbow down on you, brother.
Does a tree-sized Hulk Hogan make a noise when he drops the stinky leg drop on Buff Bagwell? We do know. We're going to find out at WrestleMania, brother.
I think a way to get me to watch that would be to tell me they're going to execute Hulk Hogan live.
Do you hit him that much?
He's a bad guy. He's a really bad guy. I liked the character he played in my youth, and as a human, he's just bad.
Explain his character. He was the ultimate good guy before he became a bad guy.
Right. I liked that character that he played. He was a symbol of everything good and aggressive and beefy in America.
Can you imagine looking at that guy and thinking, I want to look like that. I'm going to grow that fucking facial hair.
No, it was
shave
the
80s. The top of my head.
It was the 80s. You could be really ugly and be hot.
I guess so, yeah. He did look like a porny kind of guy in the 80s when you think about it.
And that's really what he became, too. But yeah, he says the N-word a lot, so he's a bad guy. We don't need him. His kid wrapped a car around a flagpole and murdered his friend.
Oh, he's yeah.
A piece of shit.
Dipshit family.
They're all just bad. Also, he won that lawsuit. Do you know how much stuff is happening that we don't even remember that Hulk Hogan won $110 million and bankrupted Gawker Media?
Good.
The biggest Good. Online media company there was. Bankrupted them because they showed his little orange shrimpy dick.
That wasn't why. That wasn't necessarily why.
They were leaked also, his sex tape.
Well, they were also lying about him. Gawker was kind of known for twisting the truth a whole lot. And so I'm
not
kind
saying
of,
they were blameless.
I'm glad that he shut them down. That was a crappy little corporation.
I just think it's funny that he lost his entire fortune in his divorce and then got a whole new one because his sex tape leaked.
Do you think he was wearing the bad guy Hollywood Hogan stuff as he took them down?
I think he he spray painted his beard black.
And then spray painted their backs with the words, with the letters NWO and stood
and he
on
said,
them.
Time for Hollywood, brother.
For life. Bam, bam,
bam, I also, bam, I didn't bam. See the sex tape, but I bet his dick has the same white, dangly, drapey hair. Like little hair curtains that his head has.
And it looks like a little fucking hot dog sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little orange hot dog. A
little shiny one.
From Garbage Dick on the Discord, do you think bands will delay new albums to line up with tours so they can put them out at the same time? That's already happening.
I think this is a good question because I think there's a great opportunity right now to send your music out. NOFX have been doing this. They've just been kind of saying, hey, we're just going to put a bunch of new songs on the internet. We were going to release the album in summer, but since everyone's sitting at home right now, here's a new video, here's a new deep cut, here's a new this and that, and they're putting out stuff on the regular. I think it's a great time to interact with people.
Yeah, everyone is trying to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
Every artist that doesn't already have $100 million in the bank, I think is trying to figure out, A, what am I going to do with my time? How am I going to use this time to contribute art? But then also, how am I going to make it through this? Like, Death Cab, for instance. Ben Gibbard is playing personal performances every single day for an hour or so. They're all really, they're just great because they are such a heavily produced band that to hear the acoustic versions of those songs makes me realize, oh, this is what he wrote.
Right.
And then by the time the producers were done with it, it was a very different song.
Yeah.
In his head, though, this is the song. And that's great. But I bet Death Cab have done all right for themselves, but I bet Ben Gibbard doesn't have tens of millions of dollars in the bank. There's no reason to think he does.
Well,
they haven't had a Pepsi commercial.
Let's move to someone who seems to be getting by. Is a guy called Matt Pryor from the Get Up Kids. He also had a band that was kind of a solo project called the New Amsterdams. I just happened to briefly catch him on some social media, I think it was Instagram, performing little acoustic numbers from throughout the years and all of his prolific work, and it was kind of fascinating. But he's someone I'm thinking, oh god, how many copies are you selling, buddy? Like, in order to
can you imagine a band like that going, okay, the tour is in 3 months, we will probably clear 25K each.
Yep.
If everything goes great, that will get me till fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the record comes out, and then maybe we'll get a little bit more money. And then those guys going, no, I can't do anything. Oh, no.
I would wager a lot of those bands have day jobs as well, which is it's the unfortunate state of affairs right now.
Bands in Town has shifted their model since there are no tours. Bands in Town is now alerting me of live streams.
Oh, it's alerting me constantly. It's been telling me constantly that Boney James is up to something. I haven't checked up on what that is. He's a smooth jazz performer.
It also told me today that Ben Folds was gonna go be Ben Folds was gonna be touring in Australia, got to Australia to tour with a symphony, and then got put on lockdown, and he can't go home, so he rented an apartment. And he is going to ride out the pandemic in an apartment in Australia. And so he's doing daily Instagram concerts.
That's kind of awesome. I mean, not for him, but it's kind of a... I guess there's a selfishness in saying, you know what's kind of awesome? That they're putting out all these unique performances and doing all this different stuff. But it's easy to forget that they're in a very difficult position.
Especially if it's a band that employs a lot of people and was going to have a big tour.
Yeah.
Everyone is shitting their pants. Because the band will probably be fine. Right. But the roadies, the catering company, the light guys, the soundboard guys, they probably had turned down a lot of other opportunities because that one opportunity was going to take 6 months to a year.
Now
they're not getting paid.
Let's take a band like Metallica, right? I mean, they probably have a crew of upwards of 500 people doing a show.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Right. I mean, you watch their tour stuff, they've got like 10 trucks worth of shit.
There's eight buses full of lights.
Right, exactly.
And pyro.
Exactly. And all of that for four guys to go out on stage and play guitar. And so it's crazy. Like, are they going to like lay everyone off? I mean, that kind of seems
like...
I think
all those people are contractors and they probably get paid by the day, which means they weren't on yet.
Right. So yeah, they've probably all those been cast by default. Fucked. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to hear a story where it's like James Hetfield agrees to pay the salary of all of his, you know, stagehands.
And a lot of people might say, no, they seem like a band that would immediately fire people. But I think they talk a lot about family.
They fired Robert on the first day of the pandemic. Hello. Hey, brother. Listen, you're out.
Hulk Hogan? Is that you?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. It's me, James Hetfield. Let me put Hulk Hogan on the phone. Hey, brother.
Why are people that say brother a lot hanging out?
We were at the meeting of boys that say brother, the brother brothers.
The brother.
Hulk and Hetfield are going to start a super group called the Brother Boys.
They have a lot in common. They both have
handlebar
mustaches and say brother. That's a lot of stuff in common.
James Hetfield was roasted like a ham, and
Hulk Hogan looks like a roasted ham. Yeah.
So really, they've got a lot to talk about.
You're right. They both have.
They can also talk. They can also go, hey, remember being huge in the 80s? Oh, you know I do, brother.
And then we kind of turned bad in the 90s, and people didn't like us anymore. Yeah,
we both turned heel.
They both turned heel for sure. Hogan started wearing black a lot. I guess they both
all right, did. Noise boys. There you go. There's another one. There's another noise hole in quarantine.
Oh, is that
in
it?
The books. Fuck. That's it.
No, we're going to rush through these questions. One sentence answers.
No, that's it. That was an hour and 15.
One sentence answers.
No.
Why not?
Save them for the postie. Save them for the bonus tracks.
Oh, for the bonus tracks. Because we can see, we're not like these compassionate bands that, not at all, that will do free shows on Instagram. We are asking.
This is a free show.
We are asking.
Everything about this is free.
For you to donate at least a buck, just a buck.
I'm not even asking. I'm just saying, if you're already on our Patreon, patreon.com/noisehole, and you're paying $5 a month and you're still with us after all this. You're going to get a longer episode. It's going to be early and it's going to be longer. And that's our thank you for your support.
I guess
if you're paying a buck, you're on the Discord.
I guess it is a little distasteful to ask for money at this time. I'm sorry.
I'm not asking for money.
Okay.
I'm saying this is going out to the people that get it. If you're in a position to give $5 a month and feel like that's missing in your life, I can't stop you from signing up. But if you could also give the money to an organization that needs it, or a place that provides, you know, equipment to doctors and nurses and people on the front lines of the pandemic. Instead.
That's right. If it does come our way, for whatever reason, be assured that it goes towards noise hole maintenance, even though we can't really access the noise hole right now. So
yeah, we can't get there. It could be gone by the time we get back.
It'll be going into a little pool where we can it could be fucking done. That's terrifying.
My only hope is that by the time the noise hole is flattened, that Gary was inside.
Why do you want him to die? We like Gary, mostly.
Oh, come on.
You have a soft spot.
Why do I want
him
to die?
You have a soft spot.
I want you to die, Gary!
You let him live in your home.
Live is a strong word. He's existing in my home.
Like moss.
And he's got to get out.
Like blue mold.
Yeah. If I can sneak him back into your house, I will.
I don't you fucking dare.
No, I think not. Like, send him. I know for a fact, because your wife told me that there is a little skinny attic that wraps around your upstairs, and I think I can get Gary in there, and you won't know.
Right. I would hear shuffling in the walls.
You'd think it was a raccoon, though.
Why would I?
You would hear like.
I would hear. You're right. I would hear a raccoon playing drums. I'd think that must be a raccoon playing drums and not Gary.
Is there a rascally raccoon in here playing a trap kit?
That would keep you.
Where is he?
Okay. So there's two levels of it. You've got a raccoon. Oh, I can hear it moving around at night. It keeps me up. There's a raccoon with a Tama drum set upstairs. That's keeping me awake at night.
If you first hear like, but then later it's like, Gary, do it, Gary, where it's like,
Oh God, that would be worse. And not only do I need an exterminator or to come out and take care of the pest, but I need
a drum tech.
I need a drum tech to come out and dismantle the Tama double bass drum set.
The guys can go, all right, now, what you got in there is you got a raccoon playing drums. Now, I can get the raccoon out, but I tell you, I don't know nothing about no drums.
I don't know nothing about it. I couldn't even.
Little felty bits that hold the cymbals on, I can't get those off.
And if you're a roadie, or if you are a drum tech, and you're not working right now,
this is what you should
offer yourself up to pest control. You can go out and earn a few extra bucks.
Go remove drummers from people's homes.
Yeah.
Because like the drummers are out there. They've scattered now that they don't have any gigs to play. Squirrel. They've scattered into the wilderness.
Squirrel in the attic playing a Les Paul. Fucking get him the shit out of there. Go dismantle that Les Paul. Go make sure that there's no more noise coming out of it. There's a living. There's a hustle to be made from that.
Do you have a ferret with a double bass?
Wait, just two double bass drums and pedals?
Get out! Ah! No, I meant a stand-up double bass. So you've got a ferret going... Ferret!
I think I would like that for a day.
You have sparrows in your attic. Playing a brass section.
I got sparrows in the attic. Ooh, I got a favorite playing bass. Yeah. Ooh, the animal life playing with all its might. Ooh, I got sparrows into the attic. Yeah.
All right. That's it. That's the show. Thanks for listening, Noise Boys. Thanks for keeping with us during this fucking mess.
Noise Boys, don't forget to wash your face and touch your hands. I've got this wrong. Don't forget to wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Stay indoors.
Sanitize your dick.
We're right here with you. We're right here with you. We'll get through this together.
I've actually not even left the house in about 3 days. Like, not even. I think I took a walk around the block yesterday. That was probably it.
I will maybe go running tomorrow, and that's about it. I've been holed up in here for days, getting a little cabin fever.
All right, so we're going to go over to the deluxe edition bonus tracks and do a little bit more for our Patreon boys. For everybody else, stay safe, stay clean, stay virus-free. Take care of each other. Bye.
Bye.
The Noise Hole with Dave and Joel is copyright 2019 Dave Micklefatrick and Joel Watson. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoiseholePod. Email us your song ideas and questions to noiseholepod@gmail.com and visit us at noisehole.net because the .com was already taken and they want like $4,000 for it.